Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 24. I love jazz piano. I love jazz piano.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 24. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. It's kind of funny that I've been using a Yeti microphone to record the podcast, and I've switched to my lapel mic that I used for all the videos on jazzpianoschool.com to film the free membership videos. And so I'm sitting at the keyboard now just to give you guys a visual image, and I've been talking into my microphone usually, so at least it gives me a direction to talk into. But now that I'm using the lapel mic and I'm not in front of a camera for these podcasts, it's kind of funny because I'm just staring at the wall and I feel like I'm talking to myself. But I know all you out there are listening, so I'm trying to visualize that and not just see the blank white wall in front of me. But today we got a great episode. I figured finally everyone listening to the podcast would want to get into improvisation, right? Because that's a big part of jazz, and I haven't done any podcast on improv. I've been working really hard. My beliefs in jazz piano are really strongly rooted in creating a foundation. So that's what I've been working on with everyone, is really creating a strong foundation. And we still haven't gone through everything, but I definitely thought it was time to add a good, solid improv podcast so that you guys can get started with the improv over the pieces that you may be learning right now. So this is going to be a beginner improv podcast, and I'm going to show you just the basics on how to get started, and from here we'll be able to advance those into the future podcast. I'm super excited. The Kickstarter for the website is almost over, and we just need a little bit more funding to really upgrade the website that is associated with the podcast, www.jazzpianoschool.com, and I'm actually really confident that we'll get there. But if you guys want to check out that Kickstarter, you can go to my Facebook page, or if you go to Kickstarter, you can search for jazzpianoschool.com, or Jazz Piano School rather, and you'll find that Kickstarter. And basically what the funds are going to be going to is upgrades to the site, creating a beautiful, pristine platform for everyone to learn and just sink your teeth into all this amazing content that I'm going to be adding in the next couple of months. And by the end of the year, I'm going to be putting out just an absolute mecca of a course onto the website that's going to be available for people. And it's really, you know, I've spent just hundreds and hundreds of hours on this. There's going to be 200 plus videos, basically thousands, I'm not even joking, thousands of exercises that will bring you step by step from the very, very beginning and walk you all the way through. There'll be practice videos, and I would be spending hours talking about it if I kept on going, but it's gonna be amazing. So that's a lot of what the funding for the Kickstarter is gonna be going towards, is creating the platform to host the website, and then I'm gonna branch out into a lot of different things, such as iPhone applications and study tools and things like that for everyone to get their hands on. So let's get into the podcast, and I need to talk a little bit about harmony, right? A little bit about harmony and theory before you can kind of improv. So how exactly do we spontaneously create solos, right, on the spot? Now, you hear all these great artists, and it's just like, oh my God, they're playing all this just on the spot, making it all up. Well, yes, they are, but it's through the study of tools that they're using to help build their solos, right? So, I mean, it's like building a house, right? When you see houses, you know, if you were to say, oh, okay, just go out and build that house, you know, you'd be like, well, how exactly do I do that? I have no idea. But people tend to know more about building houses or, you know, common things like that than they do about music and jazz and putting together great improvised solos. So you would probably know that obviously you'd start with a blueprint, right? You look through the blueprint, see where all the wood goes. I honestly know more about jazz than I do about building houses, so this probably to some of you out there may sound ridiculous, but I would assume you'd look at the foundation, right? You have to level the foundation, see where the piping's going to go, basically look at the plumbing and everything like that. So once you got that going, you just follow the blueprint, you use your tools that you have, you start putting in the studs, the framework of the house, and then it just starts going up. And then by the time you know it, you know, you have this beautiful house that you've created. So my analogy to solos is similar, right? You start with a foundation of tools and in a blueprint of the sounds you like and basically the scales and knowledge. And then from there, you can start to branch out and learn different methods and ways you can approach chords and just a lot of, you'll tend to gear yourself towards certain sounds that you like. So, you know, your style will develop on its own basically as you learn more and more about the harmonies and different ways you can approach soloing over different chords and harmonies. So let's get into a little bit more detail. That probably sounded a little bit convoluted, but let's get a little bit into more of the detail in harmony. So from your major scale, yes, I'm going back to the major scale because major scales are very, very important as always. And I'll continue to say this, I swear, all the way up until like the 100th episode of this podcast. So if you guys don't know your major scales, definitely learn your major scales because I'm going to continuously go back to them. So your major scale, let's take the C major scale for example, and hopefully this comes out well on my on the lapel mic because I'm not using that other mic anyway. But in our C major scale, we have notes, right? Now, let's say we have harmonies within the key of C. Now, I won't talk about finding those harmonies just yet, but let's say we have a C major 7 chord. Now, our C major 7 chord is built up of the notes C, E, G, and B, okay? Now, it would make sense, right, if you see a C major 7 chord in a piece that you could use the notes that build the chord to improvise with, right? So C, E, G, and B, those are four notes that you can use to improvise. Now this is the first very, very key building block to having great solos and understanding the harmony. So you want to study chord tones to chords and know the chord just, you know, inside and out. Like you know your house, like you know your way to work. It should be completely automatic. I can't stress this enough. So when the harmonies are changing, you're not guessing at the notes that you are gonna play over the chord. Now remember, the chord tones, okay, that build up the chord, the C, E, G, and B, those are called chord tones. They are the essential building blocks of that chord. So they build the chord. Now when I play those notes in my right hand, as I'm soloing, it's going to directly reflect, right, the building blocks of the chord. So my ears and the audience's ears are gonna be able to hear the harmonies that much better. Now, when I hear soloists that don't, it doesn't sound like they're getting in the harmonies very well, they're not getting within the harmonies, it's because they're kind of guessing at the chord tones or they're guessing at the notes that are supposed to be emphasized, right? So we want to emphasize these building blocks in our chords and that way our solos are going to bring out the harmonies in the piece, in whatever piece we're learning. Now, if we're guessing at these chord tones, right, we don't really know the chord tones, then your solo is not going to sound great because you don't really know what to play, right? You don't know where the stud should go, basically, in the house, is what I'm trying to tell you. Like, you need to really know the blueprint of all the chords, where those chord tones go and what they are, so you can place those studs exactly where they're supposed to be, right? And from there, we can get creative as we want. So let's take an example. So I'll give you guys just a little bit of an assessment, so you can do this while you're listening. If I say to you, what are the chord tones in a D-flat major 7? You should be able to say D flat F, A flat C, okay, without even thinking. Or what are the chord tones in a B dominant 7 chord? B, D sharp, F sharp, A, right? So it should just be like boom, boom. So what are the chord tones in a F major 7? F, A, C, E, right? So you should know this without even looking at the keyboard, right? This is how good your harmony in theory should be. What are the chord tones in an E minor 7? E, G, B, D, right? So you want to get to this level, and you do that by practicing your chords, right? Practicing the notes, And also writing. I haven't done much writing with you guys, but you want to write out on staff paper the notes, because as you write them, your brain's going to learn them differently than if you were playing them. So I highly recommend writing them. But anyway, so enough with the emphasis on the chord tones. So we want to use these chord tones to solo with, and that's going to be the first step. If you've never soloed before, your first step is going to be to use the chord tones of a chord to create anything you want. Okay, and I start with just the chord tones because it's a very simple, you only have four notes to think about, and you can start with those chord tones and create whatever you want. Now, we're focusing on four notes, and basically there's two ways to do this. We can think melodically, okay, or we can think rhythmically. Now, if you don't know many rhythms, right, we haven't worked rhythmically too much, I think the best way to start would be melodically. So I'm gonna put on actually a C minor 7 chord, okay, and if you think about your C minor 7, hopefully you know the chord tones are C, E flat, G, and B flat, right? I'm gonna put on my track here, and I'm gonna improvise with those four notes. Now, I'll tell you one thing, okay? Great improvisers aren't scared of making mistakes. So the biggest thing that holds people back in jazz and basically this music is fear, all right? And I wrote a blog article about this, or maybe it was an email rather, but is fear, right? Fear of making a mistake. Now, you can't make mistakes. Your journey, your exploration is going to help you progress. So you always want to strive to play outside the box. When I play a gig, I'm playing at a casino actually tonight with a singer, and I'm always striving to play something new. I'm always on that search to create a new form of art within my music. And so I don't want to just play the same thing over and over again because it's boring, right? And basically that's not creating music. It's just recreating the same stuff I've already played. So when you're soloing, you're improvising with these chord tones, you always want to try to strive for more. And don't worry about making mistakes, because that's how you're going to make progress. That's how you're going to get better at this music. So here we go. I'm going to have my C minor 7 on repeat for a couple times. And I'm gonna just focus on my four chord tones. And all I'm thinking about is making melodic phrases, okay? And I'm gonna try and create melodies from my chord tones, and I'm just gonna see what comes out. And nothing's wrong, right? You can't make a mistake, okay? Everything that you do with these four notes will be great. So don't worry about that at all when you're trying this exercise. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so I started playing around with the rhythms a little bit. I was trying not to, but I was trying to think melodically as much as possible, because I'm going to do the rhythmic thing in a second. But you could hear how it was like a catchy melody almost, and I could actually write a piece off of that. And the way you want to think about your solos is trying to create melodic content, right? You don't want to just, and here's a really good tip, is with piano, because a piano is a percussive instrument. We're actually hitting the keys, right? We're pressing the keys to make a sound. It's very easy to get carried away by just playing a bunch of, crap, right? That doesn't mean anything. So you want to build a connection with the notes. You want what you're playing to be a representation of yourself and what you want to express. But since it's so easy for us to just hit notes without thinking or putting any thought behind it or feeling or emotion or passion, right? We want to take our time when creating melodies and soloing, and that will allow us to play our best and improvise the best we can. That's a little bit more advanced, right? That's a very advanced topic, and we'll get to that in the future. But if you can start with that concept, then I guarantee you'll be well ahead of everyone you see on YouTube, you see in performances. And it's just, I know I'm talking a lot here, guys, but it's sad because I'll go to performances with great, you know, people have great facility and they can play a lot, but it's just like, what are you saying? You know, what are you saying to me? It's like hearing someone ramble on like myself right now and just not, what are you taking out of it? Like, you want people to take something from what you're saying. You know, have meaningful thoughts, have meaningful sentences. You know, help people understand what you're trying to convey to them. Or if you're just talking and speaking, you know, have it be something that is actually important to you. You know, if I talk about food in my fridge, do you think you're going to be interested by that? Or am I going to be interested by that? No. If I'm talking about jazz right now, right? Hopefully you can see, you can hear the passion that I have for the music and in educating you guys on this topic, right? So I'm pretty sure you can hear the difference. But anyway, so don't just play for the sake of playing. Make sure you take your time. Now, as a beginner, again, what I was thinking about is these, or excuse me, if you're a beginner, what you're thinking about are these four notes, right? So I'm just thinking C, E flat, G, and B flat. And I'm trying to put these together in different combinations, you know, back and forth, however I want. And what I was playing was only from four notes, but it sounded pretty good, right? So I'm going to do it one more time, and I'm thinking about melodies, right? Catchy melodies that you would hear in a movie, you know, or like in a, you know, in a Disney movie or something like that. Those melodies stay with you forever. So I'm really trying to express something just with these four notes and come up with, you know, great music just out of these four notes, and it's definitely possible. So let me try it one more time. Here we go. Turn my track on here. So trying to create beautiful melodies out of four notes, it's a great challenge, guys, right? It's really a challenge to create good sounding music from four notes. And this is a great exercise even for advanced players listening to this right now. And so if you take four notes, even condense the notes down to two, right? If I take two notes and try and improvise and make a great solo out of two notes, it's such a great exercise because it's limiting you to those two notes. But it's really forcing you to make meaningful music out of just two notes. So anyway, that was the melodic point of view. And again, all I'm doing is using chord tones, okay? I'm not getting into more notes with you guys just yet because I really want you to emphasize chord tones when soloing, okay? And I'm just focusing on one chord now. Now, what I'm going to do is think rhythmically, all right? So all I'm going to think about is rhythms within my four notes. So I was thinking about melodies before, but now I'm going to emphasize certain rhythms. So if I hear a rhythm I like, let's say I play da da ba da beep ba, you know, I might take that rhythm and play it again, da da ba da beep ba, but I'll change the notes up. So all I'm going to be doing is thinking about rhythms, thinking about how I can change the rhythms using quarter notes, eighth notes, half notes, whole notes, right? Triplets, quarter note triplets. And when you think rhythmically, your mindset's going to change. And I think a lot of people get so wrapped up in the fact that you're playing, they want to know, oh, what note should I play over this? Or what are the best notes to play over this chord change? Or what's the coolest lick to play over this chord change melodically, right? Don't even worry about that. I can create a killing sounding lick with three notes just using rhythmic ideas, right? And it's going to sound better than most of the stuff that, you know, just someone would play melodically or trying to use different harmonies, you know? So here we go. I'm going to throw the track on and work on this rhythmically now, okay? Just those four notes using to create the solo. Thank you. All right. So I was having fun. I got a little carried away there. But I was exploring my rhythmic opportunities, whatever I felt like. I was listening. I'm listening at the same time. And what I like, I try and go in a certain direction, and I carry that direction rhythmically. And again, I tried to throw in a lot of different options for you guys so you could hear the whole spectrum. I was using half notes, eighth notes, quarter note triplets, 16th notes, right? And creating different motivic development with the rhythms, right? So that's another thing. If you find a rhythm that you like, develop that rhythm. So if you play da da ba da, right? I would play ba da ba da ba da ba da 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 da, right? So you can develop that rhythmic idea over the chord changes, all right? So for everyone starting out with just improvising, step number one is to make sure you know all your chord tones, all right? So hopefully, if you've been practicing up until this point through the podcast, your chords and everything should be pretty solid so you know your chord tones. So when you're playing pieces, just start, like take a standard, right? Maybe, let me see, There Will Never Be Another You. Okay, and all you're gonna do, so this is how we start to go into pieces. How do we apply this technique to pieces? So let me pull up There Will Never Be Another You. So you want to practice your chord tones first through the piece. So what I mean by that is you want to, there's a really good exercise that I'm gonna show you right now, is if you outline your chord tones just in your right hand, I'm talking and trying to pull up this piece here in my tracks. If you outline your chord tones with your right hand, you can swing them and arpeggiate them. So for the first four bars, let's say, of There Will Never Be Another You, you have an E-flat major 7 chord. So I play E-flat major 7. And I would do it again because it repeats in bar 2. Now in bar 3, we have a D minor 7, half diminished, flat 5. I actually need to add those chords to the podcast. I'll do that probably, hopefully, next time. So here's my half diminished. And then I go to my G7 chord. C minor. Okay? So what you want to do is practice arpeggiating your chord tones. And this way, for certain pieces that you're learning, you're actually learning all the key harmonic elements to each chord. That way, when you're soloing, you'll have a better foundation for the chord tones and you'll be able to hit those notes with ease. So let me give you an example of what I do to arpeggiate the chord tone. So I'm gonna put the track on and go through this exercise. Okay, so you get the idea, right? And so I practice this at all different tempos. You can speed it up. Right? You can go as fast as you want, but you wanna first, you know, memorize the piece so you have the chords underneath your fingers, and then this way you'll be memorizing chord tones. So after I learn the chord tunes to a piece, let's say you're working on There Will Be Another You, There Will Never Be Another You. Now you want to begin to improvise with the chord tones because you know them so well after practicing this exercise. So this is how we begin to improvise over a tune. So I'm going to start to use just the chord tones, right? I'm just using the chord tones for every measure. And I'm going to start to create a solo. Now I'm going to be thinking rhythmically and harmonically as I solo. Okay, those are the two main components that you can vary or contrast to change up your solo. So I'm gonna be using both, and I'm gonna use the chord tone. So here we go. I'm gonna speed this up just a hair, 120. It was at 100 before. And I'm gonna create a solo just using the chord tones to each chord. Thank you. All right. I was like, ah, because I hit a different chord tone in there, so I apologize. But anyway, so can you believe it? Right? Do you believe that was just all chord tones? I wasn't adding anything else. That's it. I was just playing chord tones and I was improvising. It's pretty crazy to think that what I just created was just from four notes on each chord. Right? So just by knowing your chord tones on each chord, I'm not talking about scales right now. I'm not talking about modes. I'm not talking about extensions, altered scales, just hexatonic scales, pentatonics, substitutions, right? Can you imagine once I teach you that stuff where your soloing is going to go? Because all we're talking about right now is four notes on every chord. So the thing is, like, your brain has to be able to process the change in the chord tones, right? So as I move from E flat major 7 to D minor 7 flat 5, I need to know that my four new notes are now D, F, A flat, C. So that's, I can't stress enough, it's so important to know your chord tones that well. So what you want to do to practice this, again, slow it down as much as you need to in order for your brain to be able to process the change. Okay, so even if I need to go, I'm going to drop the tempo down to 70 right now, all right? And you'll start to, and your brain will start to process the change, and you'll get quicker at this and quicker, and so that you're using the correct four notes on every change. So here, I'll just give you 8 bars at this tempo. It's pretty slow. 2 and 3 and 4 and... that trill, I hit a non-chord tone, I apologize. But for that, besides the B flat minor 7, everything was chord tones. So again, that's, and you can slow it down more, right? If you want to take it at 50, right? And here's our change coming up, D minor 7, flat 5. Right? And so again, take it at any tempo that you need to. Now, I'm thinking about melodies now. Now, once you're pretty comfortable with the chord tones, you want to think rhythmically. How do you start to spice up these chord tones? Because you're using four notes, and you'll be like, okay, it's easier for you to play four notes and make it sound like a solo, Brendan, but how do I do it? Now, you do it melodically and rhythmically. So you want to start with chord tones. Basically, you want to start with chord tones. You want to start with quarter notes or half notes, whatever you feel most comfortable with. So I'm just gonna use quarter notes and half notes to build my solo now, all right? So just quarter notes and half notes. Here we go, from the top. Oh, let me speed this up just a little bit. So I'm gonna put this back on 90. Here is quarter notes and half notes, and I'm just thinking rhythmically, okay? Okay, that's enough. So that was just quarter notes and half notes. Now if we add eighth notes to that picture, it's already going to start to improve our playing that much more. Okay, so here's an example with eighth notes. All right, I'll just do the first 8 bars. 3, 4. Thank you. So now that was just quarter notes, eighth notes, and half notes, and it was swinging, or at least I thought it was. But then you just introduce your new rhythmic figure into your improv as you continue to go through the piece. Guaranteed, guys, you'll learn this so well. You'll learn the piece so well, you'll have no trouble soloing, and your solos will sound like you're directly reflecting the harmonies of the in the chord changes, and people will be like, wow, you sound great. So I'm going to conclude the episode with that. So again, you want to start, here's just an overview, okay? So you can begin, and this, again, this overview is great for even more advanced players to revisit fundamental things, for concepts, for improvisation. Because if you can't do this stuff, I mean, it's this stuff is the core. It's the core of improv. And when we start getting faster and connecting scale tones and everything like that, that's what makes the solo sound good, is those fundamental building blocks. So here we go. So chord tones, right? You want to work on your chord tones for your tunes. And you want to be able to play and name all the chord tones just automatically. All right? As we're improvising, we want to be able to think melodically and rhythmically. So work on each component separately. So as I improv through a piece, I'll be thinking melodically, trying to create very nice melodies. And then after I'm done practicing that, maybe 20, 25 minutes, I'll go through the piece again and I'll focus rhythmically. So I'm just focusing on rhythms. All I'm thinking about in my head is creating rhythms. Maybe I limit myself to just quarter notes and eighth notes like I was doing. Maybe I limit myself to, just eighth notes and half notes. Or maybe I limit myself to 16th notes and whole notes, right? Have fun with it. You know, this is what I give my students. I give my students these exercises, right? So you kind of put yourself in different positions where you have to create beautiful music just using these certain tools, right? It's like, how would you build a house just using a screwdriver? I don't know if that's possible, but it's basically like the same concept. But it makes your mind think outside the box, right? We never want to stay in the box. We always want to be striving for more. We always want to be busting out of that package, busting out of the box. And that's what's really going to lead you to great, great improvisation. All right. So, whew, that was a fun episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that. The first episode on improv, I think it went really well. I'm going to be doing more with harmony and theory and getting into that and why modes are and scales are important. And I know a lot of people will be like, modes and scales, but don't worry. I promise I'll make it fun and I'll really help you utilize and understand why scales and modes are important to create amazing solos. All right, I don't think a lot of people explain the importance of it too well. They're just like, here, learn these scales. Well, why do I have to learn the scales? Because I said so. Well, you know, I'm not gonna learn the scales then. But I'll explain it to you so that you have an amazing, amazing understanding of why the scales are important, and you'll be able to effectively utilize the scales immediately in your playing to improve your improvisation. All right. If you guys could give me a 5-star review in iTunes, I'd really, really appreciate it. I think I'm at 48 right now. I'd love to break the 50 barrier of 5-star reviews. My first goal is to get to 100. So we're almost halfway there. And if you haven't checked out the website, www.jazzpianoschool.com, I'd highly encourage you to do so. You can like the Facebook page too as well, and I post a lot of free content on there. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter. I'm posting the lick of the day every day, which is a lick that I play, so it's really awesome. You guys should check it out. And again, the Kickstarter, I'll be sending out a link. I'll probably put a link at the bottom of the show notes for this page if you guys are able to donate and just help out for the cause of jazzpianoschool.com. All right. So as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate all your comments, all your feedback. Let me know if you want anything. If you're having trouble with anything, please, please let me know. Even if you have something negative to say, you know, I love hearing from people, honestly, because when I don't hear anything, like, I don't know, I need the feedback. You know what I mean? It helps to know, oh, I like this. Well, can you do more of this? And recently, a lot of people were like, oh, can you add the music, the notation for the last episode onto, you know, the website? So I did that. I thought that was great, and that was really good feedback. So any comments that you have, please, please let me know. All right, that's it, guys. I hope you have a great day, and as always, happy practicing.